Welcome to the NCO Journal Podcast. This is a podcast series where we discuss published articles with authors and provide a forum for the open exchange of ideas, information, and solutions. I'm your host, Staff Sergeant Brandon Cox, NCOIC of the NCO Journal. And with us is Chago Zapata, the managing editor. Today we discuss the article, Be Present and Show Genuine Care, by Sergeant Major Victor Carambeau and First Sergeant Shane Payne. Sergeant Major Carambeau, could you please tell us a bit about yourself?
Yes, good morning. So, Sergeant Major Carambeau, I have been in the Army for over 24 years. I have served in every leadership position from team leader to Sergeant Major at the Technical Engineers Fields Division. Now, I'm currently serving at the Sergeant's Major Academy as an instructor for the Department of Joint Intergovernmental Interagency Multinational Operations here at the Sergeant's Major Academy. I am married, been married for 14 years, and have a son, Adrian. And that's about it.
Thank you for that. And First Sergeant Shane Payne, could you please tell us a bit about yourself?
Yes, thank you. I'm actually closing in on 20 years of service. I'll be retiring in August, start leaving August and retiring in November. I held all the positions as enlisted senior NCO from team leader to first sergeant. Now I'm on staff. And then now I'm currently doing a CSP as to part of the transitions, and then married for 18 years next month and have three girls.
That's awesome. Well, thank you both for joining us. We selected your guys' article to get kind of highlighted in this podcast because, you know, being present as a leader and showing genuine care for soldiers is probably our most important trait as NCOs. That's kind of why we wanted to discuss it today. You know, I know that this topic is probably going to be relevant forever. So if we could start off, maybe just what gave you guys the inspiration to write the article?
I'll take on this one. So I'm going to go back probably 2015. I was platoon sergeant. When my son was born, he required a few surgeries. So we didn't come out of the hospital right away. The only phone call I got was, I need your paternity leave. And that to me was shocking at the moment that nobody asked how was my son doing, just like, I need your paternity leave. Fast forward, here at the academy, I had a soldier that was suicidal. So like it says on the article, I used to go there every day. After work, I would stop by the hospital and I would go visit him. And the protocol was you have to call for the intercom for the nurse to escort you so you can go talk to your soldier. One day kept ringing and nobody showed up until he finally opened the door and he's like, I know it was you, Sergeant Major, nobody comes here. To me, that resonated with me. So that day when I go home, pull my cell phone and get my notes, and I just start typing about what was going through my mind. I let it, put it to the side and never kept developing the idea. Now I've just captured some ideas on the cell phone. And during summer last year, I went to a water park with my son and my wife. Before I get in the water, I tell my wife, I'll be there in a minute. And I go through social media and I see a post from First Sergeant Payne, which resonated with me. And then immediately when I saw it, I went back to the notes and I never got into the water because I just started type. And I reached out to First Sergeant Payne and I said, hey man, how are you? First Sergeant Payne, he was my soldier before. So I reached out to him and said, hey, how you doing? How are you? And I read your post and that's unfortunate that you're going through this. Here, man, I'm gonna maybe not the right moment, but I would like you to join me in writing this article. Would you mind sharing your experience? And that's how it came about.
That's one of the things I enjoyed about your article, by the way, is the fact that both of you put a little piece of yourselves into it, a little story of a real event of something that really happened in your lives, and you shared it, and you showed that vulnerability, and And I think that hopefully that'll open the door for other authors to kind of do the similar thing, because I think there's a lot of power in stories. And if you just kind of say words but don't paint a picture with them, then I think they get lost in the translation. But what you guys did was, you know, that same story you just talked about, Sergeant Major, it drove the point home, you know. And the same thing with the first sergeants is that both you, your stories drove the point home in a way that resonated with me. And I'll bring this up as something that I thought about when I was reading that, is that it's not just the fact that you have to care about your subordinates, your soldiers, but I think you also have to look out for your leaders. I think it's important also that you include them as part of those people that you care for. Because there's been times, I know there was a time when I was in Iraq when I had my captain did not take care of herself. She was in this place where she was working 18, 20-hour days, and I had to physically, you know, take her away from there and tell her, I got this, and get her food, get her into her rack, into her hooch, and then let her sleep for, you know, for 18 hours. And I think it's important that we look at not just our troops and know them, but also our leaders. You know, if we don't take care of each other up and down the chain, I think that's where there can be a disconnect.
Definitely. And I'll let Payne here chime in. But I was discussing this here not recently with my coworkers here at the academy. When you're coming through the ranks, you have a pretty thick safety net. Everybody takes care of you, get a lot of direction, a lot of guidance. And as you come through the ranks, that safety net gets thinner, right? And there are people that you can go to. There aren't that many, right? So that's definitely something that, I was talking about it with some of my coworkers here. Again, I guess my point is, as you go through the ranks, your safety net of all the people that takes care of you, it gets thinner as you move up through the ranks.
Yeah, and I'll just chime in and say that just from my perspective, I know that this as a first sergeant, you know, you have your peers, but then also, like for me, I make it a point to check up on my mentors as well, because like use my mentors is above me, and you know, we have really good relationships. So like I try to make it a point, because I know how it feels, because being a first sergeant, you don't really have too much people, like Sergeant Major say, that safety net is kind of gone. So I just try to take the opportunity to make sure I'm doing my part, is checking with my leaders, because I know they are super busy, but at the same time, they are human. They have families. So, hey, life is life. So, you know, I just try to make sure I do my part and take care of them as well.
You guys bring up an interesting point. You know, me as a staff sergeant, I feel like I'm still in the realm of where people are, you know, still asking me if I'm doing okay and you know, checking on my progression and, you know, giving me that direction and guidance. But for you guys, I mean, you know, being a first sergeant, you got to be strong. Being a sergeant major, you know, you can't show weakness. You're the one that's always taking the hits, you know, other people's problems. So I think that's very important that you guys mention that, you know, sergeant majors, you know, can be a little weak at times too, I guess, or need a hand. Do you have something to say to that?
Definitely, man. And this is something that I have started to write about. If you give me 1 minute, because I'm going to probably find something that I wrote here. And it's about this, right? At some point, you are that guy. When you make it to sergeant major, first sergeant, you are that guy. Everybody comes to you bringing up their issues. But besides work, you have a personal life, right? And when you're trying to solve everybody else's problem, and it combines with your personal life, that can be chaotic for one person. And then who are you going to turn to? I mean, you have your CEO, right? But are you going to go to your commander or your battalion commander and say, hey, sir, I'm having issues? And say, then what's the, and we go back to that stigma, say, oh, I have a weak first sergeant, I have a weak sergeant major. But at what point, how do we level that out, right? And then I think it's important that we find a peer or a mentor or somebody that we can talk to and we can vent, because that's what's important here. We have to find that person, right? That or somebody that's checking on you, if it's a peer or whatnot, calling you, saying, hey, man, how you doing? And then allowed you that opportunity just to let out, right? Because at some point there's so much that you can take. And I think somehow it's connected, right? You see the numbers, right? People that retire and you see the numbers for suicides. And I'm not saying there's a direct correlation there, but so much, we say the drops get going in the cup until it just finally, spills. But at some point, what's that? That's something else that I'm writing about right now. What's that level, right? And then is it a show of you showing weakness if you go get help? Or are you establishing a culture within your unit that, hey, I'm the top guy and I'm seeking help? But it's how do you balance that? I think it's a challenge for you as a leader.
I would interject and say I wouldn't call it weakness. I would call it vulnerability, because weakness has a certain negative connotation. You know, being vulnerable is totally different. I think that's what your article focuses on. It's vulnerability, being authentic, caring, showing true care, not just kind of just saying the words and not meaning them, or just kind of paying lip service to it. You know, you have to mean what you say.
I think it's a showing weakness with the intent to do better, right? It's not necessarily weakness to show your soldier. I mean, I have one soldier right now, and I think that one of the greatest strengths I have is, you know, being able to level with her and like tell her like, hey, I'm not the best at everything either, but together we're gonna make it. Or like we're gonna work on it. And First Sergeant Payne, did you have a story that went along with this?
Like when we think of the vulnerabilities, you know, I try to weigh my options, you know, especially who I'm talking to and what the subject is about. But one thing I learned from a good friend of mine, like I could mentor at different levels and give it to them the same advice, but it's a different wording. So just being vulnerable with my soldiers, just letting them understand that, hey, I deal with this as well. It's okay to go get checked out. And now, you know, with me going to a program, you know, and being pulled out to fight and, you know, go and try to fix myself, I realized how much I neglected myself as a leader. So now I'm really passionate about saying, hey, if you're dealing with things now, deal with it now. Don't, I waited 15, 16, 17 years before, you know, I went get like professional help. That is way too long. I could have probably, you know, been better. I don't know. But now I try to make sure it's a point that, hey, if you are dealing with things, it's okay to go get help now. The earlier, the better.
No, and that's great. Great point Shane makes, man. And I think, and this is something that I always did, my NCOs, before coming to the academy, I was in TRADOC, and I had about 60 instructors under me. And I pulled every single one of them. It's like, it's everything good at the house. It's everything. It's all your personal matters good. Because if they're not, if we have to give you some time, I cannot have you coming to work focusing on something else. Or if you're dealing with something else that I need to know, please let me know, because I want to give you that time. I want to get you the help. Because if you're not 100% personally, you're not going to be performing good at work. So, and we go to the holistic view of personal being. And that's something that I take to heart, man, because I know if your personal matters are not aligned, you're not going to perform good at work. And I have to take care of you again. And I think it's on the paper. It's the most precious asset that we have in the Army. If we're not taking care of them, the mission's not going to happen.
You know, I'll be honest with you, Sergeant Major, you said it first, and when I read your article, the main thing that hit me was when you talked about going to go see the soldier that was, you know, had suicidal ideations. I lost at least two really good buddies to the same thing, but you'd never known that they were going to do it. The one guy, I mean, I looked up to him. He was on his way to make a Sergeant First Class. He had three kids, and, you know, he was coming in at 4:30 in the morning, putting on the weight vest and just going hard. He was like the shining light for the battalion. And, yeah, he didn't make it. But he, you know, he never sought help as far as I knew, as far as I knew him. He never sought help. I talked to his wife and never had any issues. He just had a little bit of drinking problem. But, you know, it's like, how do you catch these things? People, it gets, the stigma is so hard to break sometimes that I think it took what the 20 years of war that you guys went through to finally sit back and be like, okay, the mission isn't that hard anymore. Let's focus on ourselves. And now we're like putting all of our effort into this stuff. And I think it's very important because we never were doing it before.
Yeah. Like, I know for me, like what you're talking about is like, how do we figure out? I don't think we never know. I lost one soldier to, well, as a case that I literally just was in the ER with them and, you know, getting the soldier help. And then, you know, a week or two later, he gets some more issues. And then next thing you know, like I'm at the barracks, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. But like what I try to do, and I make it a point, is like try to cover my ground as much, stay out the office, and just get around and say, you know, just like have genuine conversations with them. Like I understand work, but that's not at times important. I try to see how their family is doing, like seeing all they're struggling with anything, finances, you know, whatever, things that, like how Samir to say, like, if you're not good, you're not going to be good at work. So you're not good at home, you're not going to be good at work. So it's like trying to find the opportunity to say, hey, how's the family? Like, what are you dealing with? Because you don't ask those questions, you probably never know. And then, you know, so much things piles on their plate. And some leaders just don't believe in that approach. And they just work their soldiers. And then now, you know, they're dealing with so much at a time. So, yeah, I just try to make it a point to get out and make sure I'm talking to as many people as I can.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And as you progress through the ranks, it becomes more difficult to engage with everyone, right? But that's why I think it's very important to establish a culture of checking on each other, right? Doing events at the company level, and Shane can attest to this. I mean, we did a lot of company events that will bring teams together and they will make you talk to your team members. And I think that's important because you realize that I realized as a first sergeant, as a sergeant major, I cannot go, I don't have the time to do it, right? But what am I doing to instill that culture within my organization of check on each other? We're family, we're brothers and sisters, and even we have kids, both of us, right? So my two kids of mine, I forgot to mention that at the beginning, because previous marriage. But anyways, I have two older kids that both in the Army. And, you know, I got the opportunity to go see one at Fort Leonard Wood during his basic training here recently last year. And what a coincidence that the first sergeant used to be a staff sergeant in my company. And I was like, oh, wow, man. And it made me feel good because I know somebody is taking care of my son. So I can sleep good at night knowing that I know that an NCO is taking care of my son. And the same way that I'm thinking, there's parents across America thinking the same way, that they can sleep good because there's people taking care of my son. It's America's sons and daughters. We have to do better in taking care of them as if they are our own kids. And that's what I think I wrote on the paper.
Yeah, that's the approach that I take with it, too, because I have, like I said, I have three kids, and if they did join, you know, I want to make sure that they are taken care of. And that's for me, just to talk about how to get around to the soldiers. Like you said, we can't get around everybody, but you just got to maximize the time that you have. So for me, it was like I get in kind of early work, get through my emails, but then PT, I try to talk to a group. Morning formation, I try to talk to a group. You know, throughout the day, I try to talk to as many people as you can. I'm not going to get everybody, but I made it a point to try to use that method to get as many soldiers as I could throughout the week, you know. And like you said, sometimes you have problem children, but for me, it was like more the psychology. I want to know what that soldier is going through. Like, why is he or she causing these problems? Like, what are they dealing with? Because I don't think they're just doing it out of spite. Something is triggering that. So for me, that was something that helped develop me to become a better leader, because I would always try to say, okay, we could give them a counseling or whatever, but, like, what is the real reason? Because we're going to give them a counseling, have to counsel him or her again next week or whatever it is. So it's like getting to know them that's what made life a little better, because like they knew that I care about. They knew I was hard but fair. Like they knew I had standards, but they also knew that at the end of the day I'll be taken care of.
Hey, thanks. I'm gonna jump in real quick before I forget. But that's a great point that person Payne is making. And I think sometimes you see these where you have that problem child that he will only talk to one person. He's like, I don't want to talk to you. And if you're seeing that, that's a sign of what am I doing wrong, because he's not opening up to me, right? And I think that's one of the signs that you can see, well, why is he doesn't want to talk to me, right? And I think it's because you haven't shown that genuine care to him or her, and that's why they don't want to talk to you.
You know, in your article, you talk about how being a good leader involves genuine care and real concern for the soldiers that, you know, trust you as their leader. What are some of the ways that you guys have come up with kind of bringing the soldiers into the fold, you know, having that effective leadership on them and, you know, allowing them to trust you and know that they're cared for?
Well, I can start off because, like, with Sergeant Major was my first sergeant. Then, you know, we had a lot of time. He was a senior SGL, too, while we was both at the NCO Academy. So, like, I learned a lot from him, and one of the things that we always had was the Bulldog Challenge, and I took it in when I was my company. It was the Badger Challenge, but it was, like, finding those events to kind of pour into the soldiers. And then what I also did for my NCOs, I tried to have NCO runs and stuff so I could get with my NCOs, and then I'll do the same thing with my soldiers. I'll just find time, especially, like, when we went to the field, I find moments in those places to get to know, sit them all down, let them know a little bit about me. Like, this genuine conversation is not first line pain. Hey, how's life? What's going on? Like, it's beyond the rank. Like, and then I think that's why they brought into me. Like I say, they didn't like me because the standards, but I think they respected me because they understood how, like, if I said I was going to do something, I was going to do something. And I stood on that, and I'll go to bat for them. We had to go fight. And if I lost, I mean, they'll never know. But if I won, then obviously they'll know, because it was getting what, you know, probably they wanted. So I was just trying to find that time to make sure they knew who I was beyond the rank. They knew who Shane was. And I think that has helped me out a lot.
And I think Shane hit the nail on the head. Beyond the uniform, there's a human. And I think you have to communicate that to them. Right? And I made that clear to NCOs. And if I'm messed up, let me know. I'm human. I make mistakes too. I gave them that freedom to come. Hey, come talk to me. Hey, if you got me, you got me off guard, man. It is what it is, right? Because we're human. We all make mistakes. But just expressing that and letting them know that, hey, yeah, I'm a human. Right. Don't look at me as a first sergeant or sergeant major right now. I want to have a conversation, right? One-on-one conversation with you. Forget this, man, because it's kind of hard, or it's difficult to, if you're going through some stuff in your life, if you're going through some personal stressors, how can you express that when you're standing at parade rest? That rank has to go away. Feel at ease, man. Sit down. I used to bring soldiers up in my office and say, sit down, man. My coffee is a cake pot, whatever. Sit down, and I want to hear, man. You don't look at this. I don't want to talk to you while you're standing up in parade rest. I want to know from you, the human, the person behind the uniform, what's happening, right? Because, again, without the people, you cannot do the mission. And one person that's going through some personal stresses in life, that's bringing that into your organization, I think in my personal philosophy, it trickles through the company, and it creates that environment, and it doesn't feel right. But yeah, showing that human care is like, but beyond the rank and the uniform, there's a human person behind it. And that's the person that I want to meet, not the specialist, not the private. I want to know who is that person behind the unit.
Well, I would have to hazard to say too, that there's challenges with that, because there are going to be some people who are hesitant to speak, to be honest, and to kind of speak their minds. I would say that one of the things about being an, you know, especially at your level, gentlemen, where you're a sergeant major, first sergeant, you only see a snapshot. You know, you might talk to one or two soldiers or, you know, a few people, But I think that it's important to kind of to be observant, and taking care of your people also means holding others accountable, maybe leaders accountable who might not be doing the right thing, and being observant so that you're able to kind of head that off at the pass. That's kind of what I was talking about.
I think I could probably attest that we both are like that. Like sitting there and looking at the formation, I could tell you what platoon a service member was from, just by how they would act. Because for me, the platoon sergeants carried itself one way, or the platoon leaders carried it. They had an aura of that platoon, so I could tell you what platoon it was from. But yeah, absolutely right. Like I will observe things of platoons when they do training, sergeant sound training, leader sound training, and they're gonna do some tech rescue training. I'll just look and see, observe, and then I will talk to the soldiers and I'll talk to the leaders. Cause I want to see what both sides was how they seen things, and I'll kind of give my viewpoint of, like, well, this is what I noticed, right? Cause they didn't necessarily see me looking. I was out in, you know, this observing. So I think I always took that approach because I like to know both sides. Because I tell you what, once the soldiers trust you, they're going to tell you the truth. They're not going to sugarcoat anything. They're going to be like, no, my sergeant don't do this, or my sergeant don't do that. So I think it takes time to build that trust with everybody. But I'm telling you, once you get that trust, like you say, they'll tell you everything that you, not, and not what you want to hear. They're going to tell you what you need to hear. And our job is, okay, how do we fix this? We know it's not going to be fixed overnight, but how do we work on fixing this? And that's what I always strive to get the down truth and to see how I can get better at it.
Absolutely right about observing your formation. And then in doing so, I think what worked for me, it's identifying, there's always one informal leader that controls the E4 and below. It's always that one guy. We have that one soldier. So trying to identify who that person is, because if you can create that trust with that person, you're going to get everything. Everything, because they're gonna trust you, and they're gonna open up, and they're gonna tell you. Another thing that I want to bring up here, and that's something that I see now that we have technology, especially for young leaders of first hand company commanders. What they do here at the academy, it's that they have a QR code, right? And then you scan the QR code and say, tell us how we're doing or something like that, right? So it's anonymous. And you just go in there, put a comment of what's happening, and then it gets straight to the leadership, right? So I think that's a good TTP down at company level. Just have the QR code, tell us how we're doing. And they just have soldiers simply scan the QR code. And they don't have to put their name or nothing. They just tell something that's going on around the company. But it's a way, indirect way to communicate what's happening now.
I was going to ask each of you gentlemen, if you guys have a final remark on this, some final wisdom, you know, on just how to be that leader, you know, who takes care of their soldiers.
All I'm going to say, man, it's just remember, man, at some point, if you don't have kids, you probably will have kids. It's like treat them as your own, because, again, there's Brother America, right? But we're taking care of their sons and daughters. And it's how would you like to be treated? Even if it's your brother or sister, how would you like that person to be treated? If it's your brother or sister, if it's your own son, how would you like that person to be treated? And that's how we should be taking care of our soldiers. Regardless of everybody who wears uniforms should receive the same treatment as if they are own sons and daughters. That's what I have.
Yeah, for me, it's just get to know them personally. You know, get to know them personally, because I think once you get to know them personally, you'll learn a lot about them, and you'll understand. You can tell when they're down, when something's bothering them, then you get that. And that's just to go on top of what Sergeant Major already said. But once you get to know them personally, I think you'll learn a lot about those service members, and I think they will do a lot for you, and you will be able to help better assist them as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you. Hey, thanks for the opportunity, man. I really enjoyed this. Yeah. Something, you know, sharing our experiences, and hopefully, you know, if it's one person, because I always say this. I don't care about awards. When I depart a unit, as long as I get usually get a text from one of you old soldiers, say thank you for that. Fulfills me more than any other award. Yeah. Knowing that I help someone, yeah. And hopefully this is what the podcast or this does, right? It gets to that one person that needs to hear it, and it hopefully makes an impact in somebody. And that's what I care about, man. Just making our Army better, one soldier at a time.
Thank you, Sergeant Major and First Sergeant, for joining us. And thank you to our audience. Remember to put your knowledge to the page. Submit articles and get published with the NCO Journal. Don't forget to check out our webpage and follow us on social media. We'll catch you next time on the NCO Journal podcast.